The following audio is from Park Church in Denver, Colorado. More information about Park Church is available online at parkchurchdenver.org.
Good morning. I really wanted to make a joke about Happy Valentine's Day, but my heart was so sad over here, I just couldn't even bear it. That's my joke. Good morning. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here at Park. Before I pray, I thought I would mention, I don't know about you guys, death feels very close to me over the last couple weeks. Grandfather's dying, baby's dying, husband's dying, dad's dying. Death just feels really near. And so to talk about death today feels compounding to me. So we're going to do it, but let's pray beforehand. Lord, death feels so close right now. And I don't know to what extent everyone out here feels that, but I feel it. It feels like a freight train bearing down. Lord, would you give us the grace that we need to wade into these waters today, to look at death, to not fear it, and to look it in the eyes and let it change us. And that feels difficult to me because it feels like it is present. And so, Lord, would you come strengthen us and give us the grace we need to take a look at it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Death is not something that human beings like to talk about very much. If we can but keep it out of our thoughts, and we can keep it out of our conversations, then it seems like we can keep it out of reach of us. But it plagues us. Like a panther that would stalk us around the jungle of life, it plagues us. Scripture talks about death as if we are walking through the Grand Canyon and death is the long, dark shadow that is cast by the massive walls that go up on either side of us. Webster's Dictionary defines an enemy as this: one that is antagonistic, especially one seeking to injure, overthrow, or confound an opponent. Death is without a doubt an enemy to us. Scripture makes that clear. The Apostle Paul states in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, and because we follow in their footsteps of disobeying God, we are owed this wage. We are owed the alienation and the isolation of death. And we will all taste it. Some quicker than others. Some unexpectedly. Some tragically. Some of us will die in our sleep. And some of us will die in our old age. Some of us will be robbed of our minds. Our minds deteriorating away until we no longer recall who we are or who our loved ones are. Death will strip away our dignity and make us vulnerable. And eventually, it will take everything from us, including the very breath of life. And on this Ash Wednesday, I don't want to rob the thunder, nay, the magnificence of what Jesus does in the resurrection that we're going to celebrate on Easter. But I have to mention it in order to prepare our hearts for what the preacher of Ecclesiastes states in Ecclesiastes 7. The sinless, God-obeying life of Jesus and his death on the cross on our behalf and his resurrection, having shown that God stamped his sacrifice as approved, accepted, frees us from the tyranny of death And it allows us to look death in the eyes and not fear it. And in not fearing death, we can walk alongside the preacher as he holds up death. And he asks us to take a slightly different gaze at it. Ecclesiastes 7, 1 through 4 is organized as comparisons. The preacher begins with, a good name is better than precious ointment. In his book, Living Life Backward, which is the other resource that we have on our bookshelf today, it'd be a great study guide to walk through Lent. The author David Gibson writes, we understand this. We understand the proverb, a good name is better than precious ointment. We think it's a lovely proverb. There's no point smelling like a bed of roses if every time your name is mentioned at the dinner party, people feel the emotional equivalent of nails screeching down a blackboard. Don't be the kind of person who makes others wince, even though outwardly you look great. No, your reputation, your character, and the things you are known for, these things are so much more important than mere superficial trivia. We are to read the rest of the comparisons here in Ecclesiastes 7 in light of that comparison. And here is where the preacher asks us to look at death through a different lens. He says, the day of death is better than the day of birth, as a good name is better than precious ointment. Little can be said about us on the day of our birth. She was a small baby. He was a large baby. He looks like his dad. She kind of looks like her mom. But at the end of our life, when death approaches, much, much more can be said of us. He really liked golf. She really liked to knit. He liked to vacation on the eastern seaboard. She liked Paris. He was consumed by his work. She was a controlling lady. He was angry a lot. She was selfish. He loved Jesus. She loved people with every fiber of her being. He was tireless in how self-sacrificial his love was for his family and for others. She had the aroma of her Savior. His embrace was like feeling the arms of the Savior wrapped around you, and he was generous with those hugs. She lived her life to proclaim the glory and the excellencies of God. Who do you want to be on the day of your death? Do you want seemingly insignificant things said about you? Do you want horrible things said about you? Or do you want rich and glorious things said about you? Webster's dictionary defines a teacher as this: one who teaches, especially one whose occupation is to instruct. Death can be a teacher to us. Scripture also makes this clear in Ecclesiastes 7. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. And sorrow is better than laughter. The preacher is stating that there are things that death, mourning, sorrow, and sadness can teach us that we cannot learn simply by being born, nor by feasting, nor by laughter. Death, mourning, sorrow, and sadness are better teachers and preachers than their counterparts. Again, David Gibson in Living Life Backward. He says, the preacher has learned that there are two types of people at the funeral. The fool sits there thinking how unbearably grim this is and can't wait to be outside in the sunshine and back to what he was doing and to get out to the pub in the evening. But the wise person sits in the funeral home and stares at the coffin and realizes that one day it will be his turn. The wise person asks himself, when it is my turn, what will my life have been worth? What will they be saying about me? He loved his bowling and his partying and his holidays. Is that it? The preacher says he never met a wise pop star, but he's seen many others discover wisdom at their funerals. Laughter, pleasure, well, nothing wrong in them, in themselves, of course, but amusement like that disappears as quickly as kindling sticks when you start a fire. But, says the preacher, let me tell you this, I put my life in order when I went to the funeral home. When I went, death said to me, come. Come in. Stay a while. Have a seat. Stop and think. And I listened to what death said to me. The preacher is saying that death can be a teacher to us. It can instruct us. Death can preach to our souls. But we must lay it to the heart. Those who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will let death affect their heart. The preacher is asking you and I to let death stir something in us and let it move us. Because one day, we will return to the dust and someone is going to say something about us. Let's pray. Lord, would we be a people who are freed from the fear of this enemy and who can look that enemy in the eye and let it teach us something. Let it teach us that one day this will come to an end, and let us ponder that and ponder what we want to be, who we want to be, what are the things that we would want to live for, and what do we want said about us on the day of our funeral. Let it change us, God. Let it mold us and shape us more into who you are, what you're like. May it shape and mold how we interact with others and how deeply and richly we love. It's in your amazingly awesome name we pray. Amen.